and just putting on perfume. For most, I guess all of my life, we made fun of at least certain Europeans who are less frequent at bathing and more apt to just cover it up, put on a little more perfume. It's interesting, in the office, we tried to not say much, but occasionally we had to get up and open the doors because the smell of perfume is so strong that we just about choke. So we just make some comment about being hot or something, and we open the doors and try to get some air. Normally, it's not covering, not bathing. It's just as we get older, our sense of smell is not as good, and we tend to overdo. But to mask that, sometimes we have to do that. I was talking to a lady just yesterday who said, I had to go to a dinner Friday night, and I was in casual Friday clothes, so I went to the avenues and bought a dress, and she made this comment. I went by the perfume cosmetic counter and sprayed a little on and went to the dinner I had to go to. I just didn't have time to get home. Sometimes that gets us by. But long term, what do we really want to do? I hope you want to do is take a bath and get clean. That's really the message of Jesus, and it's the message of the New Testament. It's what Jesus calls us to, not to cover, but to cleanse. That's the point I want to make this morning. Not only for all of us, but as the message of the gospel. Because sometimes the conversation in the public around us is, well, if I just believe, everything is okay. But Jesus calls us to a belief, to a faith, that changes our lives. And that our lives ought to be changed because of our relationship with Jesus and others who come, who their lives are changed as well. Now, what the Scripture doesn't call us to, nor does Jesus say, get your life all cleansed and then come to me. But it's come to me for a cleansing. And then walk in a manner worthy of the calling. Walk in a life that is changed. I will justify you. I will make you right. And I call you to walk in that way. Our lives are to be changed. Paul really has a tremendous discourse on this very point as he writes to the church at Colossae. And I want us to read that passage together against this backdrop of walking in a manner worthy of the calling, that our lives are changed. As Jesus would say to the Pharisees, he really ridicules them. And he says to them, you are whitewashed tombs, or sepulchers, or sepulchers, if you never want to forget it. You're whitewashed tombs that look good on the outside, but on the inside are full of dead men's bones. So Jesus is not calling us to paint over, to whitewash our lives, but what? To cleanse them. To cleanse them. To repent and to empty ourselves and to be filled with God's Spirit. Since then, you have been raised with Christ. Set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on earthly not on earthly things, for you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. Let's just pause right there, Mike, for a second, and talk about that. Last week, we celebrated Easter together, and today, as we join around the table, we will continue to remember Jesus' life, His sacrifice, and His resurrection. And Paul makes this an underlying, clear, vivid point that Christ was raised from the dead and that there is resurrection. A point argued throughout history. Was Christ raised? Or was His body stolen? Did He swoon? All kinds of things. There was on the television this morning, they were talking about if somebody has cardiac arrest, cool them down. Because if you cool the body, it prolongs the amount of time that you have to revive somebody. And this one doctor said, if somebody does that, go to the freezer and get you frozen peas and vegetables and put on them and start CPR. And he was serious about that, to cool you down, because it slows the brain damage process. It was rather interesting, and in just to share with you, kind of that there was a girl who was underwater, who had drowned, was underwater for an hour, and they revived her. It's kind of an interesting concept. So at this hospital in New York, they've got cold suits that they put on people and continue CPR or try to resuscitate them a lot longer than they've done in the past. But it was interesting. The reason I make that point is the thought of life and of resurrection is an important concept. And the thought that Jesus really didn't die, he just passed out on the cross and he was revived and all kind of thoughts. But we know that Jesus was raised. And we're going to be raised, all of us who are children of God. And so Paul makes this point. Christ was raised. We have been raised in baptism to walk in a newness of life, right? Biblical concept. Been raised to walk in a newness of life. And a resurrection is coming where our bodies will be changed into the magnificent body that Jesus has after the resurrection. And so Paul's point is clear. We have been raised to live differently. And that our focus is to be on the glory that's coming, not on the here and the now, not on the things of this world, but of the world to come. And we used to walk only being nearsighted, seeing what we could see here. But now our vision has changed, and the way we live must change as well. That we have died to the old self that was ruled by the desires of this world, and we have been raised to live differently, looking toward those things that are heavenly, those things that are important. We have been changed. We have been changed. That's the point. We have been made in the likeness of Jesus. Now, are all of us going to be imperfect? Yes. We've been called to repent, which means to change from where we were in heart, in thought, in action. Not just to come that the blood of Jesus will bask our sins, but that we can be cleansed, reborn, to live differently. To live differently. Just like we anticipate resurrection, we live a different life. Since then you have been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things, for you died and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature: sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry. Because of these, the wrath of God is coming. You used to walk in these ways in the life you once lived. But now you must rid yourselves of all such things as these: anger, rage, malice, slander, and filthy language from your lips. Do not lie to each other, since you have taken off your old self with its practices and put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge in the image of its Creator. Here there is no Greek or Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave or free, but Christ is all and is in all. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you, and over all these virtues put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you were called to peace. And be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom, and as you sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs with gratitude in your hearts to God. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. Paul said in the church of Corinth, you're different. You've been clothed in the life of Christ. It's not been painted over. It's not been masked. Your sins are forgiven, and you have been called to live and walk differently. Repent. Change your ways. That's Jesus' message. It's John's message. It's Jonah's message. It's Jeremiah's message. It's Isaiah's message. Paul says, because of the evil that you practiced and that continues to be practiced, the wrath of God is coming. Judgment is coming. That Jesus coming doesn't change the fact that there is ungodliness and unrighteousness, and God's judgment will come on those things. But Jesus coming provides us an avenue of forgiveness and the opportunity to live changed lives. Redeemed. Purchased back. Not subject to the wrath of God, because we are forgiven and we walk in the light as Jesus Himself is in the light. Sometimes the thought is, well, God loves everybody, and I believe in God, and I believe in Jesus, and so everything is okay. The fact is, God loves everybody. That is a truth. That is a truth that we ought never to forget. Because sometimes when I forget that, it makes me judgmental. It does. When I forget, I think, well, God loves me, and somehow I feel more worthy. But when I realize that God loves everybody, and that God is forgiving of me, reminds me and requires me to be forgiving. Jesus talks so much about forgiving. The Apostle Paul in this passage says what? Forgive whatever grievances you might have against one another. Be forgiving. But the whole underlying part of the passage is this, that God does love us, and therefore He sent His Son, but He calls us out of the world to live differently. If you love me, Jesus said, you will keep my commandments. If you love me, you'll keep my commandments. And so the thought that I love God and that I love Jesus, but I'm going to live my own way, is not possible. It's not possible. Because that says, who do I really love? Me, right? And that's really hard to get over. I mean, I'm not sitting up here beating up on you saying, I got all this figured out. I have no jealousy, no envy, no selfishness. I wish that were true. Because if you could get rid of those, everything else would get pretty easy, wouldn't it? But the call is to die to ourselves. In fact, is that not what Paul says in the passage? For you have died to those things. As we talk about the Sermon on the Mount in the weeks very soon ahead of us, Jesus said, he who loses his life for my sake will what? Will find it. Will find it. The concept, the thought that I am going to surrender my life and give it to Jesus. Because Paul's passage is, Jesus who what? Is our life. When Jesus, who is our life, comes, is presented, we'll be presented before God with Him. Jesus becomes our life. So the thought that I'm just going to come to God, but I'm going to keep my old desires and sins and just let the blood paint over them is not the biblical concept. Teaching is, come to Jesus in repentance. changing from our old ways, living a new life, and be cleansed. Be cleansed. Sometimes infection becomes almost encapsulated within a body. And it might show itself in a knot or a boil or some infection in our body. And what has to happen to it for it to ever heal? It has to be lanced, doesn't it? It has to be cleansed. It has to be cleaned. Sometimes that's done with a surgery. Sometimes if it's just something small, those of us with pocket knives and or needles might do it ourselves, right? If you deal with animals on the farm, either the veterinarian or yourself have had to open something up and flush it out. Get that infection out and let it do what? Let it drain. Because if you don't, what happens? It just stays there. And it, not only does it affect the part of the body that is infected, but it will spread and make the whole person or whole animal sick. Sometimes we take our mouths kind of for granted. But if you have any kind of serious heart problem, you know you have to start taking antibiotics before you go to the dentist, before you have any dental work done, because any kind of infection in your mouth very often will affect your heart. If you didn't know that, people who have some congenital heart problems or have some serious heart issues, going to the dentist is a big deal. A mouth infection is a big deal. Why? Not only is it painful, nothing like a sore tooth. Ralph, we were talking about that this morning. Nothing like a sore tooth or a mouth ulcer to kind of ruin your day. I remember when my wisdom teeth used to get impacted and it would get sore back there. Just, oh, it's miserable. It makes you feel bad all over. Although it might be just a little place, right? You don't really want to talk, which sometimes is a blessing. You might not want to eat. It just makes you feel bad. But once that is opened up and the infection is removed, there's almost an immediate feeling better, isn't it? Just immediately you begin to feel better. But if you just protect it, it just continues to get worse. The same thing is true spiritually. And very often, what do we try to do? We try to hide sin. Or we try to keep it. I really want a relationship with God, but I don't want to give up this or that. Sometimes it's just a general attitude that I'm just concerned about myself. That I'm selfish. And I think all of us fight that. Or maybe there's another sin on which I have become attached, for lack of a better word. Maybe I enjoy or don't think I can do without, and I try to hold on to it. And what does it do? It's like an infection that we keep. It brings pain. And we wonder why we don't feel well spiritually. Why am I not progressing? Why do I not find peace? Why am I not comfortable? Why do I have trouble being open to God? Because what I've done is I've masked it. And you know, you might be the only one who knows. Others may, but sometimes we're able to protect it and hide it pretty close. There are people who are sick and they never let it show. There are others of us who moan and groan when we don't feel well, you know. But others mask it pretty well. They don't limp. They don't complain. They smile and fight through it. We do that spiritually. But what Jesus has called us to, what God has called us to, is not to hold it in, but to open our hearts and be cleansed. And to have our lives changed. The scripture says that even the demons believe and tremble. Even the demons believe and tremble. Jesus calls us to repentance. It's not just believing, but it's then letting our lives be changed because of our faith. By their fruits, the scripture says, you will know them. By our fruits, people will know us. It's not by just what we claim. It's by how we live. The good we do or the evil. The heart of generosity or of selfishness. That's how we will be known. Because Jesus calls us to repent, to change our lives and to live differently. It's not, well, I believe in Jesus and I'm going to do what I want to do and the Lord will just paint over it and it'll all be okay. And I'm afraid that's way too prevalent an attitude. Way too prevalent of an attitude. Jesus didn't come and say, let me paint over you. Jesus said, come and let me lance the sin that is within you. Let me clean you and make you pure. Let me remove the pain and the stain. And let me help you be recreated in my image, where you can walk in a new and different life. Not only is that the message for those who are outside the doors today, but for all of us to live lives that are different, so that our fruit will reflect the faith that hopefully is within us. And that faith grows. That we're willing not just to be painted over to look good, but that we truly have been cleansed from within. Oh, we're all still imperfect. And that's why the blood of Jesus continues to cleanse us. But let's not harbor sin any more than we would a disease or a sickness. Because there is healing. We don't have to live with it. We can be cleansed. And that's what Jesus calls us to. And he says, I want to cleanse you and make you new so that you might live differently. No longer the things that you used to do, but lives that are changed because of hearts that are changed. Don't come to Jesus to be painted over. Come to Jesus to be cleansed and healed. If you need to come, do that while we stand and sing.